Thank you for your holy written word. And I thank you as I speak tonight, I am speaking as the oracles of God and minister under the anointing of the ability of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank you for fresh manna that will come from heaven tonight to be imparted to our spirits and lodge there to the extent that we'll not only be hearers of the word, but we'll be doers of the word, carrying out your will and your plan in this earth. And Father, in advance, I believe that every need of every single individual is met. And from this day forward, Father God, we call ourselves a success. I call every single person under the sound of my voice prosperous, successful, healed, and whole, that they are the head and not the tail, that they are above and not beneath. I speak blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father God, I thank you there'll be no curse, but they are blessed because you said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow to it. And Father God, we thank you that there's no sorrow in anybody's life, but they're a success and blessed right here tonight in Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 because I couldn't get away from this. And I was trying to go in all kinds of other directions, but I come back to right here, Hebrews chapter 11, because I found out if you're going to be a success in God, you got to simply do it God's way. And God's only got one way, and that's the way of faith, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for those that come to Him must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen. Brother Bruce, you made it here anyway, didn't you? Amen. Probably the devil tried to talk about it, but I seen Brother Bruce one of these days. If y'all don't watch him, he gonna tear them pews up back there. He's getting the starch out. You know what I'm talking about? One of these days, he gonna tear them pews up and he gonna come tearing down through there because he can't stand it too much. He just gets a happy, he gets to grinning from ear to ear. He's out of the thriving metropolis of Shallow, Georgia. Now, if you don't know where Shallow, Georgia is, don't blink your eyes going up old 85 because you'll miss it. Amen. But glory to God, he's ready to dance and shout and ready to go on with God. I see Pastor Reynolds sitting there beside him, and he just lives right down the street. I think you could say in country talk, you could sling a rock down the road to where his house is, and now he'll shout and dance with you. He's getting a little starch out, you understand, but we're coming on, amen. But somebody said it ain't how loud you shout, it ain't how high you jump, and it ain't how much you dance. It's how much you believe God's word in relation to how high you're jumping and how much you're dancing and how loud you're shouting, you know, because in old time Pentecost, brother, they could run, dance, shout, and jump, but you know, when they hit the ground, they went home with some of the longest faces, had the mostest problems, if that's correct English, in Georgia Swamp language it might be, they had the most of problems of anybody that had ever seen, and I'm not knocking or belittling anybody. I mean, when you got to church, I mean, back then, they didn't have a workout clubs and what do they call them things, Dane, where you go, what is that all? Gyms, yeah, hallelujah. They didn't have workout gyms back then, hallelujah, and aerobic classes, because when they come to church, they went to gym, brother God. I mean, they run, they danced, they shouted, they sweated, they got their heart rate up for a good hour and a half. I mean, the cardiologist was proud of them, amen. They might have went home sick as a dog, but they shouted while they was in church, amen, and went out the door saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. Come down with lumbago, my bago, feel like a winnebago has hit me. I don't know why I like that, but the terminology just sticks with me, you know. And they walked around in defeat all the time. Said, Brother Randy, how you know I grew up in that kind of atmosphere, and I'm not a knocking nobody, but I'm here to tell you, nobody had any victory any time. The greatest thing, the most excitement, and it seemed that anybody could have, if they got this dreadful disease that nobody had ever heard of, that they could call somebody when they get home, I want to give you a prayer request. I've got this dreadful disease. They don't even know the name of it, but I got it. Palabula. God, I got it. I got it. I got it. I would think, sister, if I got it, or brother, if I got it, I'd let it go. I mean, if I got something I don't want, I know how to turn loose of it. You ever picked up a hot frying pan on the stove that's been sitting there with grease in it for a while? How long did it take you to look at that hot frying pan? It didn't take you very long at all. If you got something that you won't want to hold, you can get rid of it, can't you? Well, it works the same way in the spiritual realm. If something comes along and grabs a hold to you, you can get rid of it unless you want to hold on to it. But there's a lot of folks that want to hold on to things. Said, Brother Randy, why are you saying this? I don't know. Open my mouth, let her fly. Is that all right? Now, my wife ain't here tonight. She's with her mama, but she gets on me about that. She said that's what they used to say in old time Pentecost, and they'd get out and spew up doubt and unbelief. Now, you shut up, and you get up there and tell them you've been a prayer and study study. Well, I've been praying and studying. And so my wife, y'all put it on tape or don't let her hear it one, because she's going to corner me about it. And honey, I've been praying. I was up this morning. I don't have to tell you, but I was up 4:30. God had me up speaking to me about tonight. I mean, sometimes it said that Jesus was up in the wee hours of the morning, the early hours, way before dawn. And sometimes God does me that way. My wife say, honey, where you going? I said, I got to go, honey. I can't lay here. I said, what you doing? Got to go. God's talking to me. Got to go. Don't you know you need some rest? I said, he's my rest. He's all I need. Somebody said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And I'm here to tell you, if the Lord is your shepherd, you'll not want. You'll not have any needs. You'll not have any problems. You'll not have any tests. You'll not have any pressures. You'll not have any oppression or trials of life that you cannot overcome. So it's time tonight to get victory in your life and go on with God. Regardless of what you're facing, regardless of what it looks like, we're going to be a success in Him. So, Brother Randy, you ever going to read a scripture? In a minute. Amen. We're going to get there in a minute. Say, Brother Randy, didn't you go to Bible school? Yes, sir. I went out there to Bible school. Brother Dane, didn't y'all go out there to that Bible school I went to? Rhema Bible Training Center. Now, out there, they taught us this thing, this subject. Now, y'all make sure I got this right. It's a big old word, you know. And I know them nickel and dime word, but they got this big word. I think they call it homiletics. Isn't that right? They taught us about homiletics out there at Bible school, which simply means that's how to study, prepare, and present a sermon. You got an introduction, you got a main body, you got a conclusion. You understand? Well, I didn't know too much about them homiletics because I was a country boy out of the swamps of Georgia. But I knew a whole lot about them home-like chainsaws. You understand? So if I get the buzzing more like a home light than I do homiletics, just forgive me, because I can't always go by the homiletics, but I can buzz like a home light when the Holy Ghost gets to moving on me. Amen? So say, Brother Randy, I've done that a little bit myself. Well, we'll call it the home light anointing then. I don't know whatever you want to call it. Somebody said the homiletic anointing. Get the home light anointing. Amen. I mean, sort of run through you by the voltage of the Holy Ghost. It'll charge you up, and I'll guarantee it'll cut out any thicket, brush, or briar to get you in your way. Amen. When you get charged up with the Holy Ghost, you can go on by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so anyway, we better try to read some kind of scriptures to back up some of this stuff, or get going in that direction anyway. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It says, for by it what? Faith, the elders obtain a good report. Faith always has a good report. I said, faith always has a good report. Say that. Say, faith always has a good report. So that means if you got faith, you've got what? A good report. That means you're going to be saying what? Everything is going to be all right. Brother Randy, you don't know what I'm facing. Yeah, but everything is going to be all right. Brother Randy, you don't know what I'm feeling, but everything is going to be all right. But, Brother Randy, I was at the doctor today, you know, and I was in the hospital today, and I had chemotherapy today. You know, my mother-in-law was there. We love her dearly. And the doctor just basically, you know, said there's no hope without medical science. Isn't that right, basically? And we won't go into all the negative reports, but we're on the positive side, and we say in the face of contradictory circumstances that everything is still going to be all right. Amen? Glory to God. Somebody said, I want great faith. How are you going to ever know if you got great faith or not unless you put it up against a great test? Amen. And it's just a challenge and an opportunity to prove that God's word is true. The bigger the test, the bigger the trial, the bigger your faith can grow. Amen. Said, Brother Randy, I've been a praying for great faith. Are you sure you want it? Are you sure that you want to match your faith against the test or trial or obstacle or circumstance that's around? I'm here to tell you, if you do, you can. And you'll overcome every single time that says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What I get out of verse number 1, he said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Somebody said, I'm a hoping and I'm a praying that everything's going to be all right. Forgive me, but the truth of that is simply this. No, you're doubting and unbelieving. Amen. There's nothing wrong with hope, but all hope is a goal setter. It's a desire. It sets you in the direction that you need to go, but hope alone is not enough, because the Bible says so, not because because I say so. The Bible says, now faith is the substance, our basis, our grounds, are the evidence, you could say, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's good to have hope. It's good to have a desire about what you want to happen in your life. But desire alone or hope alone is not enough. You've got to have something that backs up that hope to bring to pass your desire. And what that ingredient is called faith. But unless you take that ingredient and release it into your life, into your circumstances, into your situation, it's not going to change. You've got to get faith off the pages of God's Word, get it into your heart, and release it out of your life into your circumstances, your situations, whether it be spiritually, physically, materially, financially, educationally, family matters, children, it does not matter. Your faith can change your hopeless circumstances and situations. So hope is good, but hoping and praying is not going to get your circumstances and situations changed. Amen? Faith is what's going to change your circumstances and situations. It says, verse 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen, said Brother Andy, did you tend to do that? No, the Holy Ghost had me do it. He's wanting to show me something. He wants to show you something. If you want to see those things that's your desires, the only way you're going to get them is through your faith. It's one thing to desire them. It's one thing to hope for them. It's another thing to see them. If you're going to see them, you've got to use your faith to get them, because God gave you that ability. But when you get to talking about faith and how to release your faith, so Brother Randy, you talking and yelling, you are a big bag of hot wind like you was talking about, full of hot air. You're talking about we need to do this and faith does that. How in the world do you take the faith? Get it off the pages. Get it in your heart and get it released into this earth, or get it released in your circumstances. I'm glad you asked. You know, the Bible tells us exactly what to do to get the thing released. Verse 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The way that you're going to get your faith released into your circumstances is the words that you speak out of your mouth. Amen. In fact, you're a product this very minute of what you said yesterday and the day before 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 and the day before. What I started saying, what is this, 1995? What I started saying, 1992, 5, 3, 15 years ago. 15 years ago. Not only can Jesus set you free, He can keep you free. They gave me a letter that said you'll be released on parole in the month of none. And I said, right in the face of that letter, I'm going around the world preaching the gospel, casting out devils, raising dead, healing sick, go blind, blind in Jesus' name. I don't care what no letter says. What was you doing? I was framing my world. I said, Brother Randy, what are you doing today? What I said 15 years ago. Did it happen overnight? No. But you've got to set your course in that direction. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, I believe it is down in there somewhere, chapter 3, verse 6, somewhere. Look it up later. I'll find it for you. This comes to my spirit. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Somebody thinks because they get a little spurt of faith, a little energizing of faith, and they speak a couple of words out or believe God in a moment of prayer, when their faith is built, and then it immediately ought to pop and appear before them, and if it don't, they go away disappointed and forget about it. But faith is not something that you turn on like a magic wand and wave it. It's a lifestyle that you exercise every single day of your life. But it says here, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And I'm here to tell you, you have framed your world where you're at today with the words that you're speaking. Say, Brother Randy, my world's not too good. Well, be encouraged. You can frame your future. You can't do anything about the past, but you can frame your future. I said, Brother Randy, how do you know? I'm doing it every single day of my life. You can frame your future. I remember when God began to speak to me about flying, learning to fly an airplane. Our pastor here was saying that I got the Randall Greer Ministries blessed now with two airplanes, both of them paid for. But when I first started in this, when the God spoke to me about going the direction, showed me the mode of transportation that I would need to get the gospel out. I mean, he said, you need to learn to fly an airplane. Well, I had one of them faith mobiles. Now, I don't know if you know what one of those are. That's the one you pray to where you're going and pray back. And pray you make it to where you get there or not. I mean, I had a faith mobile. And on top of all that, you understand, I'm not knocking them. Thank God for the faith mobile. I mean, if it'll get you there, it's a lot better than walking, you know, and they don't let you ride the mule and buggy anymore like they used to, you know, so it's just hard to get somewhere without hitchhiking and everything. But and the Lord said, you need to learn how to fly an airplane. I said, Lord, I don't even have money to put gas in my car. What do you mean learn how to fly an airplane? I mean, you know, could God even ask somebody to do something like that? Don't even have money to put gas in his car. He said, you're going to need it for the ministry that I've called you to get to the speak engagements that I'm going to send you to. Me? I said, who in the world would call me? Who in the world would want me to preach? Who in the world would want me to go? And God began to show me how full of doubt and unbelief I was. He said, son, you can frame your world. He said, you can stay right here and do nothing and just wait for it to fall on your sky, on your head like ripe cherries out, off a tree out of the sky. Or you can get up and begin to exercise your faith and believe me and I'll cause it to come to pass in your life. I said, God, I'm not going to sit here. I'm going to at least get up and do it. I mean, I'll put this in action. I'll give it a try. And so I went out and took the first flying lesson down in Eufaula, Alabama. I'll never forget it. I went riding by down through there and they had this sign out there. It said, learn to fly. For $600, biggest lie you ever heard. But I fell for it anyway. But I went in there, that $600, boy, I'm going to learn to fly. Yeah, you learn to fly. You solo an airplane one time, but I got killed to doing it. But anyway, you learn to fly. I mean, he guarantees you $600, you'll learn to fly. He didn't say how you could fly, but at least you could fly. What they call flying and good landings, remember? You know what a good landing is? If you walk away from it, that's a good one. And parts ain't scattered everywhere. That's a good one. Now, how did I do on my first solo flight instructor? You done a good one. About knocked the nose wheel off, bought tore the right wing off. Was that a good one? Yes, sir. How do you know? You walked away from it, son. That's a good landing there. But anyway, I went ahead and took all my training, and God supernaturally has provided. I mean, he just supplied the money as we went. I mean, it wasn't there in my hand before it happened. A lot of people wants to wait to see the bird in the bush, so to speak, before they're going to believe they got it. And if you're going to wait to believe that you got it until you can see it or feel it or physically touch it or perceive it by your physical senses, that's not faith. Because faith believes in something that it cannot see, it cannot sense, it cannot touch, and it cannot see in the natural realm. That's what faith is, and that's how it will come to pass in your life. And so I just started believing God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the airplane. What's saying it for folks could hear me, but I was saying it where God could hear me. Well, I just kept on going that way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, that started in 1988. I went over to 1991. Got a phone call from the least likely place that I could ever get a phone call from. Never spoke there. Didn't know the people. I knew of the people, but I didn't know them real well. They said, God told us to come for you to be in our church the last Sunday of 1991. We've got to do something for your ministry. He told us back to do it back in October. And he said, we've been missing God. And would you come? I said, I cannot come, sir. I said, I've gave my word. I've obligated myself. I'm to be somewhere else. He said, if you'll give me the pastor's number, if I can get it changed and rearranged without causing any hardship there, because we got plenty of time to make some adjustments. He said, would you agree to come? I said, pastor, if you can call that pastor and get him to agree, have him call me and tell me, release me from my speaking engagement, then I'll be there. He said, fine. Well, it wasn't long, about 30 minutes, this pastor called me that I had been speaking engagement for. He said, I'll release you. He said, believe me, you'll be blessed if you go. I already know what's going to happen, but I've sworn to secrecy, so to speak, and he said, I cannot tell you. And so I went, and this pastor preached on Sunday morning. My wife and I were there, and then when he got through, he got up. He said, don't want you to preach or nothing. We just want to do what God said. And he called me up on the platform. He said, God spoke to us. He said, we're in a building program. We're trying to raise several $1 million. And he said, we had several... quite a bit set back, and God said he wanted to take us some of that money and he wanted us to sow it into your ministry. And I was thinking, oh, $100 or something like that, you know, thank God, you know, I appreciate that, you know. But he said, God told us to buy you an airplane, son. I said, glory to God, hallelujah. I said, you sure, pastor? Yeah. I mean, you know how much an airplane cost. I mean, how many millions you got over there in the bank, you understand? He said, don't worry about it. He said, God's going to supply, and he did. Went and bought an airplane. Well, we're flying around this single engine airplane. I'm going along through the sky. And a lot of times I leave out, I'm what you call an instrument rated pilot. And I leave out here and going out of Columbus, Georgia to my meetings. I'll go into the clouds and I'll never see the ground again until I bust out on an ILS, instrument landing system, going down about 200 feet above the ground. Glad to see the runway on the other end. And when you're flying in those kind of conditions with a single engine airplane, if that engine quits, guess what's going to happen? There's only one choice. That means you're going down. Somebody said silence is golden, but not in a single engine airplane. You want all the racket you can get. Said Brother Randy, how do you know? Tried it both ways and like it with racket. You understand? And so I started telling God. Said, God, look here. I said, you call me in this ministry. I didn't call myself. And you put me in this airplane of flying. I mean, it was a lot of work. I never dreamed of being a pilot. You know, a lot of kids grow up, and there's nothing wrong with that, growing up with a desire to be a pilot, be a transport pilot, airline pilot, a captain of an aircraft, you know. I never did. I was too busy playing cops and robbers, you understand, in prison most of my life. And I mean, that's just the truth about it. I was just lucky to be alive, you know, and that's thanking God that I wasn't in the graveyard, you know. And so when all this began to take place, I thought, man, this is a lot of work. I mean, you know, with the education that I had and had to go and take all this training, this flight and school and all that kind of stuff, it would just work to me. But I knew it was God's plan, so I just worked it on out. And I started talking to God. I said, God, look here, I fly my wife and baby, especially after my little son come along in 93, and you remember the old deal with him. They said that, that he would never be born. Well, everything fooled them all. He was born. And then after he got here, then he had some birth defects, and they said that he'll never be normal. He'll never run, jump, and play like anybody else. But I found out confession works. You can frame your world. I begin to say that little Randall Jr., I've been confessed over him there in the hospital when he was in the crib. What do they call that incubator thing? They had him in with all them wires. He looked like the bionic baby with all these whistles and bells and things. We got videos. I mean, if you've seen the videos of where he was at in those nurseries, a high-risk nursery in the medical center, and that's the baby center for high-risk babies in this area, but that's where he was at here in Columbus, Georgia. If you've seen those videos, you could never believe that that's the little boy that you could see today. And he was here tonight, but he had to go stay with his grandmama because she had got in from chemotherapy and several other things come up, but she was planning on coming, but right at the last minute some things happened and she couldn't make it tonight. But that's a lady of faith that's going to come after a day of chemotherapy. Amen. And so he went home to take care of his grandma and give her a run for her money. Amen. Because I begin to confess over him right there in that little old bitty incubator with all these wires hooked on him. When they said that he'll never run, he'll never play, he'll never run and jump and talk like other little children, he'll never be normal, I said my son will be healthy and normal. He'll run like a deer, he'll jump like a hart, and he'll leap like a gazelle. I might have went a little too far. Didn't I, Miss Ann? She's our office administrator, and she tangles with him every now and then, has to straighten him out, and if she don't watch him, he will rearrange her desk. Of course, she knows how to correct him, and he gets correction, and she's got off limits because she's got certain things in places, but he thinks that he needs to fix this and he needs to fix that, and he just got at the age now that everything is me and mine, you know, and you want to help him to do something? No. He wants to try it to do it himself. This morning, I had to taxi one of my airplanes across to go to oil it up and grease it up. I had my oldest brother down here. He wanted to fly it. I figured put him to work, bless God. Get out there and grease that thing, get a little work. So I let Randall get up there, and I was going to put him in the seat beside me. He said, no. He wants to get in the pilot seat. So I let him get up there in my lap, you know, and he's reaching down there. Boom, he doesn't see me hit all them buttons, you know, and he's wanting to go. Vroom, vroom, vroom. He's saying, push it, you know. He can't reach the throttle, but push it, Daddy. Let's go, Daddy. Come on, Daddy. Come on. Go. I said, wait a minute. Let me call the tower. Tower. And they heard him. He said, who is that? I said, that's my little boy trying to get a clearance across the runway here. He said, tell him he's cleared the taxi. I said, go, Randall. Go, Daddy. Yeah. And he taxis across the runway. He thinks he's really doing something, you know, driving that plane, he calls it, across there. And so he's healthy and normal today. But the reason I tell you that is to encourage you that God's word does work in the face of contradictory circumstances. We've got medical reports that said he'd never be healthy, never be normal, never be what he's supposed to be, but he's everything and that and more today. Healthy and bright and normal as any child could ever be at his age. Amen. How do you know? They still examine him. He goes for a report and check up every 2 months, and they're still checking him out. His body systems and functions, everything is functioning normally and healthy. But why? We've been framing his world from the time that he was born, saying our son is healthy and normal. The healing power of God flowing through him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. That's a good way to get started in life. Amen. Glory to God. Just start speaking success over him. I tell him all the time, I said, brother, Randall Jr., I said, if you want to be the president of the United States, if Jesus don't come, you can be one, boy. I said, just be anything you want to be. I mean, if you want to change this nation, you want to change cities and countries, we'll do that too. If you want to be a preacher, you can do that too. Whatever you want to be, you can do that too. But make sure we're going to get you some pilot license where you can fly your daddy around. Don't get too far, you know. Take a little work and load off me, you understand? And you know, they can get their student pilot license when they're old enough to reach the pedals. They can't get their license to fly until they're 16 by themselves. But daddy can ride with him and he can get going across the country. So he's heading in that direction now. But talking about these airplanes got me talking about that. But anyway, we're believing God, and I was telling God, we got a little son now, you know. And Lord, you know, going across this country and all over the places like we go and all kind of weather conditions, I said, Lord, I need a storm scope. I need a GPS, which is a global positioning system that works off satellites that the government has shot into the sky and other companies that you can pinpoint yourself, I mean, within a few feet of anywhere that you want to be, anywhere in the world by this navigational piece of equipment, about $4,000 or $5,000. Storm scope's about $4,000 or $5,000. All this kind of stuff and many other pieces of equipment I asked God for. And I said, Lord, I need me a twin-engine airplane because I tell you, I said, if you want me to fly, I need something a little better, a little bigger, carry more people, go faster and higher and all that stuff and be a safer aircraft. And I said, I started praying, asking God. I said, Lord, I said, what kind of airplane do I need? Lord, what do you want to do? How do you want me to fix it? Lord, how do I need this? Lord, I need that. Lord, I need that. What kind of airplane? And Lord just stopped me one day. He said, son, he said, find out for yourself what you need. He said, and then come to me and ask me. And he said, I'll give it to you. I said, is that right? He said, yeah. He said, aren't you the pilot? I said, yeah. He said, didn't I send you to school to learn all that? I said, yeah. He said, well, I don't know about all that. He said, I'm the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said, it's your job. You work for me. Don't be asking me to do it for you. He said, you do your own research. It was like a light bulb turned on. I bless God, I bought me all kind of airplane books that told about every airplane it was. He said, find out how many people you want to carry, how much gross weight you want to put on board, how much fuel you want to burn, the initial purchase price, operational cost of the aircraft, upkeep of the aircraft, annual expense of the aircraft. He said, what man's going to build a tower? Don't sit down and count the cost first. He said, find out where you're at with your faith and then tell me what you want and I'll get it. So I found out exactly what I needed. I wanted a Piper Aztec aircraft that carried 6 passengers and you could load anything, you could shut the doors on and it would fly out of here with it. And I went to Father God with it. I said, Father, you said if I'd come back to you and told you what I wanted, you'd get it for me. He said, all right, just start believing me then. I said, Lord, thank you for that Piper Aztec. Thank you, Lord, for that Piper Aztec. Thank you, Lord, for that Piper Aztec. And I said, now, Lord, I don't want no E model. Because when he went to the E model and the Aztec, they started down at the A's and they went on up, you know, to F models. And I said, I don't want no E model because when they got there, they made some changes in it. And it wouldn't carry as much gross weight and it wouldn't go as fast as a D model would. And so I wanted a specific year model. Say, Brother Randy, you can get specific? Absolutely. You can even believe that by his stripes you are healed. You can get that specific. You mean I can believe that he supplies all of my needs according to his riches in glory? Absolutely. You can get that specific with God. Tell him what you want, believe him for it, and then act just like it's done. And so what I begin to say, thank you, Lord, that I've got that twin-engine airplane. Thank you, Lord, I've got that twin-engine airplane. Here's our office administrator, Miss Ann. She heard me say it many times. She said it herself. Thank you, Lord, for that twin-engine airplane. Thank you, Lord. She'd have a prayer request. We have prayer requests that come in our office, and she writes them up on our prayer menu board, I call it. Up there, I noticed she had pray for the right airplane, the correct airplane, every day. Thank you, Lord, for the airplane. So we're saying in our office, we're in agreement in our office. We're in agreement in ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for that airplane. Thank you, Lord, for that airplane. Thank you, Lord, that it's done. Thank you, Lord, that it's done. Well, it came along that I was flying into Charlotte, Douglas International Airport to do a meeting. And as I was going in, my alternator went out, and I could tell that by my amp gauge, and then my battery went dead because all my electrical system ran off it, but the engine still works. Don't sweat. It runs off a magneto system, which means separate than the battery power. But it quit. And I'd been saying, thank you, Lord, for this twin-engine airplane, and it seemed like this one I was flying was starting to fall apart. Maybe I wouldn't exercise enough faith over the one I had. And so I went in, got landed, and they began to work on it. I was preaching a meeting starting on a Sunday going through a Wednesday. Well, on Tuesday, I was in the hotel room praying at 4 o'clock. I'll never forget it. And they called me from the airport because they was putting a new alternator on there because they said, this is your problem. And we had one overnight at the end. They was going to stick it on, you know, and I'd be ready to go out on Thursday when the meeting was over. to my next meeting. But anyway, I was sitting there, and this guy from the airport, the maintenance supervisor, called me. It's Mr. Brown was his name. I'll never forget it. And he said, Mr. Greer. I said, yes, sir. He said, are you sitting down? I said, no, sir. I'm walking and praying. He said, well, maybe you need to sit down and pray. He said, this is a little bit more here than you're going to want to hear. I said, well, you sure? He said, yeah, are you sitting down? I said, no, I'm not sitting down. I'm walking and praying. He said, could you sit down and pray? I said, would it make you happy? It'd make me happy, sir, because I don't want you to pass out on me. He said, just sit down. So I sat down. He said, are you sitting down? I said, yes, sir. He said, you've got a cracked crankcase. I said, a cracked crankcase. He said, a cracked crankcase. I said, a cracked crankcase. He said, a cracked crankcase. I said, you mean like engine block broken? He said, engine block broken. Engine block broken. I said, oh, no. He said, you're sitting down? Yeah. Because I knew what that meant. Engine out. Engine overhaul. At the least, minimum, $10,000. How much of it did you have? Not a nickel. But I believe I'll receive. Amen. He said, you better come over to the airport and take a look at this thing. We got to make some decisions quick if you're going to do it. I said, well, the pastor's going on. I have a car right here where I'm at. Let me call. I think I got a cab or something. I went up there at the airport. I got to the airport. And I got inside. We went out there and looked. And I began to look at the thing. I said, oh, my Lord, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You supply all of our needs. I was believing for a twin engine. Now I don't even have a single engine. My God, what in the world am I going to do? I mean, the engine broke. You ain't even got one. I mean, that'd be the time to say faith didn't work. That'd be to say the time that, brother, you was out of the will of God. As I sat there, the Spirit of God began to come on me. And righteous indignation got on me. I think that's what they call it in some circles. We call it flat getting mad in Georgia. But I realized this is the devil. And I jumped up in Mr. Brown's office and I said, bless God, devil. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of here. And I walked over, opened that door, pow, and kicked him out, slammed it too. He said, what's wrong with you, sir? I said, don't worry about a thing. Sit down. I said, get your paper and pencil out. Don't worry about a thing. Figure it up. How much is it going to cost to fix it? And I said, I don't want it fixed no halfway, because it had been telling, well, you can do this and you can do that. You can buy a part here. You can do that. And I said, no, we're going to fix it back to factory new, or we're not going to do it at all, because I'm not going to fly across the country and no piece of junk. My God, son, that cost $12,000 to $14,000. Don't worry about it, Mr. Brown. Don't say anything anymore. I'm saying everything's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. How do you know the Word of God is true and you can frame your world with the words you speak out of your mouth? Well, I found out from him for $500, they'd come get it from the engine shop and take it and put it in there in Burlington, North Carolina, out of Charlotte, and they'd take it up there and they'd tear it down and tell you exactly how much it's going to cost you. Well, I called him and told him, come on down here, boys, get the engine and take it up there and find out what it's going to cost me to fix it, the factory specs. I went. And that morning, let me tell you how good God is. I'd been confessing, thank you, Lord, for that twin-engine airplane. I believe I received that Piper Aztec with that storm scope, with that GPS, with that DME distance measuring equipment, that ADF, that automatic directional finder, those top-of-the-line King radios. Don't want no junk, you understand? You got to be specific about what you want from God. Say, Brother Randy, can I be as specific as to say, Lord, I believe that I receive my healing? Absolutely. Grandy, can I believe that I receive that God supplies all of my needs according to His riches and glory? Absolutely. You've got to be specific about what you want God to do. And if you don't think God can do it, don't put Him to the test. But I'll guarantee you this, if you'll put God to the test, He'll meet you at your faith and He'll take you through to the other side. And so anyway, here I am. And I'm sitting there and I said, Lord, I told him to fix it and that everything's going to be all right. You know, tell me how much it's going to cost and all that stuff. And so that morning, on Tuesday morning, that's when it happened. It was Tuesday evening when I woke up that morning, the Spirit of God spoke into my spirit just as clear if He was right there in that room with me, which we know that He was. He said, knock down, but not out. Knock down, but not out. I thought it was for somebody else. You know, it's amazing how we get all these words and they're always for somebody else. But sometimes they wind up being for us's, you know what I mean? Good Georgia Swamp language. They belong to us. You know, when you get to preaching these real good messages like this, you get to thinking, I wish brother so-and-so was here or sister so-and-so was here. You know, God knew they wasn't here before you shovel over the bench and somebody else take a bite yourself.
It ain't hurting nobody. I'll guarantee you. Get you a little bite of it before you shovel it over the bench. You know what I'm saying? It'll help you. Cause your faith to grow. Said, Brother Randy, why are you preaching this? Inspired by the Holy Ghost. Because there's some people in this building tonight that's got dreams that's much bigger than they are. There's no way that they could ever accomplish it. They don't have the talent. They don't have the money. They don't have the ability. They don't have the means. They don't have the know-how. But God is a God that's more than enough. They call him El Shaddai. Glory to God. And that means he's a God that's more than enough. Is your dream bigger than you? Then you need to get a big God. Because your dream is not bigger than God. And he's El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. And he gave me that title or that word that morning. Knocked down, but not out. Knocked down, but not, and all day long, when I'd get to praying in the Holy Ghost, I'd pray it out. And I'd pray in tongues, and I'd pray that out in English, knocked down, but not out. Knocked down, but not out. Everywhere I turned, I couldn't get away from those words, knocked down, but not out. Knocked down, but not out. Paul said, persecuted and cast down, but I'm not forsaken. Glory to God, I'm not forsaken. I mean, I may be cast down. It may look like that I'm going under. They stoned Paul when he was preaching the gospel and left him for dead. And his disciples are standing around him squalling and crying. And he rose up among them and said, let's go, boys, and preach in another city. Said, Brother Randy, what happened? Well, he was knocked down, but he wasn't out. They put Daniel in the lion's den and said, boy, this is the end of the road for you. But the next morning at daylight when the sun began to rise, they went and hollered, oh, Daniel, are you still there? And he said, oh, King, the God that I serve has delivered me. He had a God that was more than enough. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego dared to stand in the face of the devil and spit in the devil's eye and said, I'm going to believe God and stand on his word. Come hell or high water, they slung him off into the fiery furnace. And the king said, hey, boys, didn't we slang three in there? And he said, I see four. And he said, the fourth one looks like over there, maybe he's the Son of God. Glory to God. Hey, boys, come out. I'm here to tell you, they might have been knocked down, but they're not out. And you may be in a situation tonight. In fact, I know there's people in the audience tonight that you've been knocked down, but you're not out. It's time to realize that we've got a delivering God. My daddy-in-law's been a prophesying and hearing the service, you know. All you got to do to make him shout anyway is drop the mic cord and he's ready to run. Amen. or trip over something. He thinks you shouting, he's gone. Amen. Just happy in God. And that's something good about him. Always inspired my faith and encouraged me. He's told me all the time that everything I've learned, I got it from him. Amen. So glory to God. We're going on with the Lord. And know that we can believe God. Amen. Come through all kinds of tests and storms and tests and trials. But that's just to let us know that we can go on from here. Amen. Even though the enemy's come out against us one way, he's going to flee before seven ways. But I still had that words, knocked down but not out. By the time I got to that church tonight, that night to preach, I was so happy. It was like fire, Jeremiah said, shut up inside my bones. I couldn't wait for them to get through singing. Shut up, you ain't got to sing. I'm ready to preach. You ain't got to sing me happy. You ain't got to sing the anointing on me. I'm happy because I've been delivered. Amen. I don't care what it looks like. I'm still happy. Said the man told me I owed $14,000 to get the engine fixed. I'm still happy. Act like Brother Randy, you got it all. Didn't have a dime. Woo-hoo! But glory to God, I had a God that was more than enough. Well, I got to church that night and I run up and down the aisles. Brother John Davis made it up to that meeting. That was one of the most glorious meetings I guess I'd ever been in my life that Randall Greer Ministries was involved in personally and preached in. But them church was one of the most conservative churches that I'd ever been to in my life. And they got to shouting, they got to dancing, they got to running, they got to jumping. I mean, if somebody raised a hand, that was something. But they turned loose of the aisles and got out there and they got to run around the church to such an extent, racing and jumping and dancing and shouting, that the pastor said, my God, they're going to knock the walls out. Open the doors, boys, in the back. And they had a foyer and they was running out that door, coming back in this door, you know. And you had to get in, get out, or get run over. I mean, because you couldn't stand still, brother. If you was out there in the crowd, they're going to come get you. Brother Davis was there. He'd done a little running and jumping and shouting himself towards your latter end. I think you got in on Thursday, didn't you? But he heard about what was going on. Bless God, let's go. And I'll tell you what they got to shouting about. while I was preaching that, knocked down but not out. I'm so happy, I'm beside myself. In fact, I think while I'm preaching, my heads are telling me, you're lying. You are lying, boy. You are supposed to be depressed. You are supposed to be despondent. You're supposed to be sad. And here you are running, dancing, and shouting like you ain't got a problem in the world. What I didn't. It wasn't my problem. It was his problem. For the battle's not mine. It's the Lord's. All you got to do is what the Lord says. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Amen. Get out from under the pressure. There's some of you sitting here tonight that's been under the weight of that thing for years. How do you know? By the power of the Holy Ghost, release it to God. You can't do it. The dream's bigger than you. The problem's bigger than you. The circumstances are bigger than you. But get a big God, and it's not bigger than Him. Let God do it. And anyway, and all the time that I'm preaching, and I'd made it through about 35, 40 minutes of running and jumping and snorting and slobbering and spitting. I mean, just all. I mean, I didn't have any manners about myself. Forgive me. And I was raised better. Forgive me. I mean, you get to snorting like an old hog in a pen. You're rooting for that slop, you know. My granddaddy had a 72-acre farm, so I know a little bit about that kind of stuff, you know. But I mean, I just got happy. I was just a rooting around in God, preaching in there under the anointing. Just felt good. When I should have been crying and squalling and rolling the floor. But it says, I believe in here in our text, that faith always has what? A good report. So I had a good report right when I should have been sad. And every time I'd look, the pastor's wife is sitting to my left. And it was a real tall platform, I guess, what, 6 foot up? Or higher at least. And every time I looked down there, she'd just glow like a light bulb. And I don't know why, but I just kept being attracted to, she needs to say something. But you know how big mouth preachers are. Forgive us for telling herself. I didn't want nobody else to have the floor while it felt so good to me. Yeah, you know, when it feels good down to your bones, you understand, it's hard to turn it loose. But I kept looking. Every time I looked, I'd go to the other side, you understand, because I knew she had something, but I didn't know what. And anyway, finally, I just come sputtering to a stop on my end of my running, jumping spells, and I looked at her, and I just called her as a term of endearment. You know, I said, Miss Cheryl. I said, I don't know. I said, I've missed God before, and I'm probably missing Him now. I said, but have you got something? Are you supposed to do something? She said, yes, bless God. I've been waiting for you to shut up. She said, you ain't been preaching to us. You've been preaching to you. She said, my husband has found out what in the world's been going on at that airport. She said, I was in prayer. She said, but sitting here on this bench, I sensed something was wrong, and my husband and I came in two different vehicles, but I said, what's wrong? Something ain't right, because he's too happy. Ha ha! You can't be happy like that. I mean, it's faith the way he's so happy. I mean, so what's wrong? And he began to tell her the story, the sad, depressed story about, oh man, he's got this thing. They told him at the airport. I just called over there. Mr. Brown told me, see, he knew Mr. Brown too, the man at the airport. He said, man, this guy's going to have $14,000 to fix his airplane. She said, bless God, we're going to take care of that. Don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing. And so she got up and said, yeah, I've been waiting for you to shut up. She said, I don't know all the ins and outs about what's going on, but I know one thing. You're not preaching to us, you're preaching to yourself. That's why you're so happy. That's why you're running. That's why you're jumping. You might have been knocked down, but bless God, you're not out. Because God, while I was sitting there on that bench, said God, an anointing came on me, and He told me to get up and take up an offering. And this is what He wants us to do. He said He not only wants us to put that brand new engine to factory specifications on that aircraft, He wants us to buy you a twin engine airplane. Glory to God. I mean, I had a running spell again. They had to catch me that time and bring me back to my seat. I mean, you could get happy too, you know. But I'm sitting there with tears running down my cheeks. And she said, bless God, this is the way God said do it. She said, don't take up no traditional offerings. Said, usher, get rid of them plates or buckets they had and go back in the back. I think they come out with a big flower pot. You know what I mean? Because we're going to need a big offer, you know. And I was thinking, my God, if they got $6,000 out of these 225 people or so that was there, adults, you know, it'd be a miracle of God. But I'm in the whole show. I mean, I'm ready to see this miracle, and I've been saying, thank you, Lord, for that Piper Aztec aircraft. It's mine. 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 I believed I had that twin engine so much that when I was flying that single engine, I was getting my mixture prop throttle flaps up, gear up, props full forward. I was flying that thing down. I mean, I went across the country in that single engine. I visualized myself with it because faith is the evidence of things that you hope for. You can actually see into the realm of the spirit and bring into reality the things that are there by faith into this physical material world. You can frame your world with the words that you speak out of your mouth. But anyway, she got up and she began to take up this offering. She said, "We're not going to pass the buckets. You come." And you start putting money in the buckets. Well, they started coming and one a trickle here and a trickle there. And all of a sudden, they broke loose a running. And this one, it all broke into pandemonium. I mean, grown folks, adults were running. Folks were throwing canes down and they were coming. I mean, the healing power of God hit swept across that building. The glory of God filled that building. And people were running by, throwing the offering in. And I'm standing over there and I'm wondering, my God, what's going on? This must be a miracle. He said, "Son," he said, "I'll confirm your words with signs following." He said, "This is a sign following your words." Whew. He said he confirmed his words with signs following. I shared that before. Because folks think you're crazy when you start talking like that. You understand? He said he confirmed your word, my word, with signs following. He said, "You said you wanted a Piper Aztec." He said, "Here's a sign that follows your word right here." He said, "Watch it happen." I said, "All right, Lord, I'm looking, boy, I can't count that fast, but I'm looking, you know what I mean? I'm looking, I wasn't hoping and praying, I was looking, amen, I'm a believing, amen." And so when they got through taking up the offering, they're dancing and shouting, and the musicians are playing and singing, and the pastor's wife said, "Take it back and count it and come back and give me a report." When they come back, she had this total up there, and what was the total? $35,500 in one offering. El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough, somebody said. But she said, "God said, this is not enough." Said, "We're going to need hundreds of thousands, and we're going to raise it, and we're going to get it in. In fact, Brother Randy, can you stay on in the meeting?" I said, "Wouldn't be no problem." "Wouldn't be no problem. Why, God's a moving. We don't want to shut him down." Said, "We're going on with this thing as long as we can." And they called and started calling other churches. One church came in, brought in about 12,000. Another church came in 5,000. Another church brought in about 7,000. This one 3,000. This one 3,000. 1,000 here. This one giving 500 there. Before it was over with, all was said and done, there was over $100,000 raised. Not only fixed my single engine airplane, and it's paid for, don't owe a dime to nobody, but got another one paid for. I mean, got another one paid for with 500 Holy Ghost anointed, turbocharged, fire-breathing horsepower that will cruise at 24,000 feet, that over 200 knots coast to coast with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory to God forever. He will confirm your words with signs following out of your mouth. I'll guarantee you this, when you begin to speak God's word out of your mouth, you can frame your world. Now, to cap all that off, I want to say this, to balance it. Don't seek things, seek God. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, that if you'll hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God and obey His commandments, that the blessings of God will overtake you. When you start chasing God, the blessings are going to chase you. All the time I'm looking behind me, they are tripping me up. I mean tripping me up. I mean flat blessings of God are chasing me down and tripping me up. I mean falling on my face, wallowing in the blessings of God. I mean that's God's blessing to His children, but I'm not chasing the things. I'm chasing Him. God, first and foremost. He's done so much for me in my life, there's no way I can repay Him. But every morning when my eyes pop open, He's my first thought. Sometimes it's 3 or 4 in the morning. Not all the time. Sometimes I don't get up to 10 in the morning. I don't lie to you. I mean, I'm a diverse person because my schedule varies. I mean, most folks work in the day. I work at night. If you call it work, it's fun. I wish I had more fun at work, boy. I mean, you can under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But it just gets to be fun doing the work and will and plan of God. So my schedule varies. But I mean when my eyes poke open or pop open in the morning, God's the center of attention in my life. Thank you, Father. I worship you, Father. I want to glorify you. Father, thank you that I just know that you're God. You may not know how blessed you are to know that God exists. Because at the time, I did not know that. I didn't know. I didn't believe that God existed. I thought the Bible was a fairy tale that somebody wrote to make me be good. So I was goofed up. My whole life was a disaster. So just to have my mind back, my mental faculties back, my spiritual intuition back to know that there was a God is a blessing. So I begin to thank Him for that. I begin to thank Him for every blessing they'd ever give me. I mean, when you get to talking about deserving, no, I don't deserve it in a natural sense, but because of what Jesus Christ done, it's bought and paid for. Amen. And it belongs to us. And I'm here to tell you, let God be the center of attention to your life. Don't chase things,
Don't chase cars. Don't chase houses. Don't chase money. Don't chase airplanes. Chase God. And the blessings of God will run you down and overtake you and flat trip you up. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Amen. Say, Brother Rodney, I've been pretty sorrowful lately. Shame on you. Just get happy by faith. Say, Brother Rodney, I've got a need tonight. Do you think that God can meet it? El Shaddai is here tonight. He's a God that's more than enough. But if you don't arise and accept the challenge of the Holy Ghost, he said he'd confirm his word with signs following. I preached to you through the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost tonight. Everything that I said was not premeditated today. In fact, this morning I thought I was going a totally different direction. But in the service tonight, God said, you get up and tell them, because there's people that come tonight, said that they've got problems, they've got dreams, they've got desires, and they've got plans that's bigger than they. He said, I want you to share with you about plans that you've had that's bigger than you. I said, Brother Randy, have you reached the mountaintop? No, I haven't reached the mountaintop. But I'll tell you this, because every time it seems like I climb to a plateau, and I think, well, I'll stop here. This is enough. God says, come on, boy, come up a little bit higher. He calls us from glory unto glory. And so every day of our life, we should be challenged in God. Challenged in God. And when it looks like that you're going under, when everything looks like that it's failing, when everything looks like that it's turning dark and bleak and the oppression's coming in from every side, everybody can shout when the music's a playing and the songs are singing and faith is built. But it takes faith to shout when the lights is turned out, so to speak, and the party is over and you've got a bad report coming to you from every side, not knowing what to do. In that circumstance, in that situation, is when you need to start shouting, when you need to start dancing. I mean, get out in the woodshed, because it's going to look funny to start with. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, my God, don't know what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. I don't know what I'm going to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Everything's going to be all right. You out of your mind, you crazy thing. You starving to death. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. And just keep, because that's the way it's going to start. Because your head's going to play tricks with you. Every time you raise your hand, you're going to feel like you're dying. I mean, just to get them up, first of all, they get to here, you know, and then you'll get back down here, then you'll get up here, and finally you'll get them up here through that oppression, and finally you'll stick your hands into glory. And when you do, brother, you're going to dance, and you're going to shout, and you're going to run, and you're going to jump. When you get to thinking about El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough, he'll change your circumstances and situations. You know, he delights in people doing that. Because then he can show himself strong on your behalf. And that's what he wants to do for you right here tonight during this meeting. He wants to give you the very desires of your heart. Would you stand? I promise not to hold you long, and I'm going to keep my word. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your holy written word. I thank you for your truths that you've allowed us to share. Father, to the best of my ability, I've shared with these people about how that they can plan their future based on your word and their faith. And Father, we know that there's people here tonight in this meeting, in the service, that need a miracle from God. Father, they've been challenged by you. Father, there's some here that's got a dream that's bigger than they are. They've got a dream that's bigger than their finances. They've got a dream that's bigger than their abilities and know-how. But Father God, you've dropped the dreams in their hearts. You've given them that desire. You've given them that hope. And Father God, I thank you tonight that you're making them aware that you're giving them the ability, the finances, and Lord, you're going to turn the hopeless situations around right here tonight. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, with heads bowed, you're in the service tonight, and you say, Brother Randy, I'm here, and I've heard what you've been talking about. I'm inspired in faith, and I'm ready to believe God as never before. Just inspired by the Holy Ghost to do it sort of backwards tonight. But you hear, and you say, Brother Randy, I've got one of those desires that you were talking about. I mean, it looks bigger than I am. The dream looks bigger than I do. And I mean, I believe it's the voice of God. I believe it's a plan I had in my heart. But I don't see how the finances could be there. I don't see how the ability could be there. But I know the God that's more than enough. I want to hook my faith with your faith as you reach your dream. If you'd raise your hand boldly right now, what it is. I see hands going up all over the place. Yes, God spoke to hearts here tonight. Hallelujah. And there's going to be some changes happening. You can put your hands down. Hands went up all over the building. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. What I'm going to ask you to do is, those of you that raised your hands, open your eyes and look at me. And the purpose we're going to do is, there's a reason for everything that I do. I don't know why everybody else does anything, but there's a reason for an altar call. See, by you going to an altar, what you do when you raise your hand, and it's not a marker to embarrass anybody, when you raise your hand in an altar call, if you don't know what you're doing, the devil will try to steal what the dream and desire that you got, the words you got from God. But when you raise your hand, what you're saying, Brother Randy, I believe that what you say is true. Glory to God. It'll work for me. But it's one thing to believe it. It's another thing to act on it and receive it. And by something about just making a move, a physical movement, it sort of sticks in your mind about what I'm fixing to do. And when I go down to that altar, it's going to be mine. So I'm going to ask everybody that raised your hand on any of those invitations, step out boldly from right now where you're at and come to the front. You're driving a spiritual stake in the ground and you're saying, blessed be God, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Just line up here side by side saying, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's not I that's going to give it to you. It's God that's giving it to you. Amen. Glory to God. Just come right on forward a little bit. Come up there. We're just about 2 foot from the front. Hallelujah. We're going to pray and believe God with people. Hopeless circumstances are going to turn around. Hallelujah. Just get right in here, sister, side by side, if you will. Hallelujah. Just come right on up here. Hallelujah. We're going to get right in here. We're going to believe God. Those of you in the audience, say, Brother Randy, I don't have a need in my life. That's good. We'd ask you to exercise your faith. And we're not saying that anybody here has got a need because tonight it's met. Isn't that right? And see, but you know, it reminds me, when I say sometimes about driving a spiritual stake in the ground, and I know there's some folks around here that knows what that means. But my granddaddy plowed a mule on a 72-acre farm, several of them. And Kate, the mule, she always liked the grass because it was green on the other side. You know what I mean, Pastor? But it's something about old Kate. If you let her outside the fence and didn't tie her up, guess where she'd be? Down across the neighbor's yard, eating the flowers and the trees, and out in the road, car about run over and everything else. And so, Granddaddy, every time he'd put her out there, he'd drive a stake in the ground. And then he would take a tether, he called it, it was a rope, I called it, harness, and tie that mule to that stake. And she could eat grass anywhere she wanted to around that stake, but she couldn't get loose from that stake. And so what you're coming tonight is you're driving your spiritual stake in the ground, and you're tying yourself to it and harnessing yourself to it with the Word of God, and you're saying, blessed be God forever, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. And so when you go away from this place of prayer, what should your confession be? It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's not going to be done. It's done tonight. Amen. You're setting in motion a spiritual law and truth that Jesus Christ established. Isn't that right? And what is that truth? It's the truth of faith. Faith. You're going to release your faith tonight when I lay hands upon you, and you're going to see your hopeless circumstances and situations change. Amen. Glory to God. Just be an attitude of prayer as we come by and minister to you here tonight. Father, we thank you. Thank you right now. Father, I thank you right now for the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And Father God, we thank you right now that the dream may be bigger, the finances may be bigger, but Father God, you're the one that's El Shaddai. You're the God that's more than enough. And regardless of how impossible it seemed in the past, Father, tonight all things have become possible with you. And Father God, he steps out, he believes, and he receives right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you that it's done as he drives that spiritual stake in the ground, saying, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, in Jesus' name.
I know you were blessed by this message. If you would like to receive more information about Randall Greer Ministries, or if you'd like to receive our free newsletter, just let us know. We'd be happy to send it to you. Just write us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 2227, Owosso, Oklahoma 74055. Or you can contact us at our website, www.rgm.me. And remember, God is always with us.